Every winter, a massive infrastructure project takes place on the North Slope that's designed to disappear. Ice roads are built to minimize the oil industry's footprint on the sensitive tundra and melt away in spring. Many of the oil industry's multi-billion dollar projects on the North Slope can't be built until the ice roads are finished. This January, Elizabeth Harbaugh visited ConocoPhillips facility in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, to see how an ice road comes together.
I'm in a van slowly lurching down the beginnings of an ice road on Alaska's North Slope.
Probably driving only over, in some spots, maybe as thin as an inch, 2 inches of ice.
And it is really bumpy.
You get used to it.
Should have brought my Dramamine. I'm on a tour arranged and paid for by ConocoPhillips. It's the only way a reporter can see how the oil company operates in this remote part of the world. It's a dim 7-degree day in January, and with me is Jeff Osborne, who oversees ice road construction for Conoco. It's a more important job than you might think. Here in the North Slope, oil companies like ConocoPhillips build hundreds of miles of ice roads every winter at a cost of about $400,000 per mile. Osborne explains that there are no permanent roads to the company's Alpine facility or to many of the pipelines nearby.
That's the amazing part. I don't know anywhere else in the world where you can build pipelines. And when we walk away and everything melts, you can look from the road or from afar and you wonder yourself, how did those pipelines get placed?
Conoco's North Slope work schedule hinges entirely on ice roads. The season lasts 90 to 100 days. During that narrow window, their Alpine workforce doubles in size. Essential equipment like drill rigs, pipes, and cranes all have to be moved on ice roads. On a frozen lake, a big yellow cat moves back and forth across the horizon. What's left behind looks like a freshly plowed field, only it's frosty white. Huge backhoes scoop up ice chips and dump them into trucks. Back at the roadside, Osborne explains what happens next.
At some point in time, the blade will call the water truck up and have the water truck put some water down on the chips that have just been dumped.
After water is sprayed down, Mother Nature takes charge, freezing everything into place. Layer after layer is added until the road is at least 6 inches thick. And that's pretty much it.
I've always thought that ice roads were like an elegantly simple solution.
Melissa Head is with Alaska's Department of Natural Resources. She's on a team that manages ice road construction on the North Slope.
There really isn't much that's complicated about it. And that's the beauty of it.
The main purpose of ice roads, Head explains, is to protect the tundra's sensitive vegetation. Some plants native to the region won't grow back for years if they're disturbed. Environmental groups have raised concerns about ice roads. Lois Epstein with the Wilderness Society in Anchorage worries about the amount of water it takes to build them.
Where that water comes from, making sure that it doesn't deplete important lakes, river systems.
But Epstein adds her group doesn't oppose ice roads.
It is true. Ice roads are much better than permanent roads, gravel roads, so we do support their use.
This winter, Conoco begins construction on its Greater Moose's Tooth 1 drill site, one of the company's first big developments in the National Petroleum Reserve. Conoco usually builds about 35 miles of ice roads each winter, but for this project, they need an additional 80 miles. That means Jeff Osborne is keeping busy. Driving back to Alpine in the van, I have to wonder if ice road building feels like a Sisyphean task.
All that money and time and effort, patience, and then it melts away in the spring. What do you think about that?
Job security.
By late April, the ice roads he completed just a few months earlier will fade back into the tundra. And next year, he'll start all over again. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.